Welcome to the Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. We're joined today by Judith Finlayson, author of many cookbooks, including, most recently, The Chili Pepper Bible, 250 recipes from sweet to fiery and everything in between. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Kara.
So first, what makes a pepper a chili, and what's included in the chili pepper family?
Well, a chili is a capsicum in horticultural terms. So capsicums are members of the nightshade family, and there are five major species of capsicums, but even experts can't agree how many there actually may be. They think probably around 25, but no one really knows how many varieties of chilies they are. And think about that, because if you remember that many chilies are cultivated, the ones that we grow, and so we sort of have an idea about what the basic ones are there, although there are all kinds of people who are hybridizing those and creating new chilies for various reasons. But there are thousands and thousands of wild peppers that grow all over the world and that are regularly hybridizing themselves. So we just don't know. The people who are most interested probably in hybridizing them that we're aware of are those that are trying to break the Guinness record for the hottest pepper in the world, and they're busy working on various types and tweaking them. And but, you know, they're the ones who are doing these hot pepper things. But one thing that many people don't realize is that a chili is not necessarily hot. Sweet bell peppers, which we eat all the time, are capsicums, and they are therefore chilies. And they have what is known as a zero rating on the Scoville scale.
Tell us some more about the Scoville scale.
Well, the ghost pepper, just to kind of put it in perspective, the ghost pepper is famous because it's the one that broke the million point on the Scoville scale. But some of these super hots that are being bred that I was just mentioning earlier, like the Carolina Reaper, which is currently the hottest pepper in the world, those are now topping like 2 million Scoville units. And when they first started looking at what were the hottest peppers, the range was in something like 500,000 Scoville health units, or heat units. So the substance, to just explain that, the substance that gives chilies their heat is called capsaicin. And science can measure the capsaicin content in peppers by using a system that was invented by a scientist called Wilbur Scoville. So that's why we call it the Scoville scale. And as noted, sweet bell peppers come in at zero on the scale. But the really hot peppers, like the Carolina Reaper, or the one that was the hottest pepper in the world before it, the Trinidad Scorpion, hit about 2 million Scoville health units on that Scoville scale. So there's a huge range in the heat level of peppers, and you would know that just from kind of being out and about and eating peppers. I mean, even if you weren't aware that a bell pepper was actually a chili pepper and that it has a rating of zero on the Scoville scale, you would know, for instance, that a jalapeno pepper, for instance, is hot, but it's not as hot as, say, a Scotch bonnet or a habanero. And those are all fairly common peppers that you would encounter.
How did you become interested in chili peppers, and how did this book come to be?
Well, I've probably been thinking about writing this book for almost 15 years. And why I became interested in chili peppers is kind of interesting. I mean, I don't really know why I would. I probably in Freudian terms, it was a kind of reaction, because I grew up in a very traditional kind of British background family, and we, my father really in particular, had no interest in eating anything spicy or highly seasoned. It was really meat and potatoes. So once I started to travel, and after I finished university, I went to Africa and I experienced, you know, some of the hot, like Ethiopian food, or I remember the first time I ever had a hot food to deal with really oppressive heat was in Mombasa, having a curry for lunch. And so I was getting kind of interested in chilies, but I was just aware of them as something that added spice to a dish, heat. My real kind of moment of transformation came on a trip to Mexico when I was invited to lunch at what was then considered to be the best restaurant in Mexico called Los Maninitos. And it really blew my mind. I had never tasted anything that I found as interesting as the dishes that I had there. And, you know, I can't remember, it was so long ago, precisely what I ate, other than I strongly suspect that one of the dishes was kind of a chicken in a mole sauce. And what you get in a traditional mole sauce is a combination of chilies. So you get a base of dried chilies, and then you can kind of add brightness and freshness with fresh chilies. But the dry chilies really, because in the process of drying, their flavors change and intensify. A lot of the caramelization notes come out in that process. And you really get the deep, deep complexity of chilies. And of course, any really good Mexican chef would be combining different types of dried chilies along with fresh. Ancho and guajillo are two common combinations. And so you would get really a very wide range of background flavors in the dish that add an enormous complexity and deliciousness to it that I found quite irresistible. And I guess that's what launched me into exploring chilies as a culinary subject.
We've heard about some of the types of chilies that are common in many home cooks' repertoire, scotch bonnets, habaneros, jalapenos, and even bell peppers. What are some other chili types that are readily available that home cooks should become more acquainted with?
Well, I think really that the chilies that you should try to use are if it's fresh, access those you can get easily in your local markets. But you can also purchase a wide range of dried and pickled chilies online. I like, in terms of the dried chilies, it's getting harder and harder to get now because of the problems in Syria, but I love Aleppo pepper. It was traditionally one of my favorites, but they're now, you can buy Turkish pepper that has a very similar flavor profile. I love, say, fresh pimentio peppers. I have a farmer that produces a ridged pepper that he grows. It's sweeter than a bell pepper. It's absolutely wonderful. But I would recommend, actually, in season, that people start going to farmers markets, because what you find is that a lot of farmers are very interested in chilies, and they are growing what would be unusual types for the climate, and that's a way of getting introduced to a wider range of chilies. I love Pimienta Split, the Basque pepper. It's available dried, but interestingly, I ran into a farmer I know at a farmer's market just about a week ago, and he told me that he was growing pimento split here in Ontario. So I found that very interesting because I've never actually had a fresh one. I've only had it dried. I would recommend getting a few bottles or jars of particular pickled peppers and having them on hand. One that I like is the Malagueta pepper, which is a South American pepper. It's very hot, tiny, very, very hot. But it has a wonderful flavor. And adding a little Malagueta pepper to deviled eggs is really the pièce de résistance. So,
and I love that in this cookbook you even have desserts, which are not what we immediately associate with chili peppers. What are some unexpected ways that you incorporate chilies in desserts or in other dishes that we don't usually think of them as belonging in?
Well, it's interesting, you know, that we tend not to think of chilies in desserts, but sweet and hot, you know, if you look at the whole Asian principle of balancing flavors, spicy, hot, bitter, umami, whatever, salty. So sweet and hot really, really do work very well together. The sweetness balances the heat, and it probably cozies up to some of the caramel elements in many chilies. So, you know, that it's not a new thing to use chilies with sweetness because the Mayans were using them centuries ago in chocolate. That's a very old traditional combination. And you're now seeing that more and more. A lot of chocolate makers are putting just a hint of chili into their chocolate, and that seems to really bring out some of the lovely flavor notes in chocolate. One of the dishes, so I've done a number of dessert recipes that use chilies, and some of them are traditional and some aren't. So one of my favorites is Thai-style pineapple with chili, and this is really a riff on Thai street food, where, you know, they'll often serve you chopped up fruits and so on to cool off in the oppressive heat. That recipe is simply chopped up pineapple drizzled with sugar and a little minced Thai chili and lime juice. And if you want to get a little fancy, you can barbecue the pineapple, and that is a really good dessert because the barbecuing really brings out some of the deep, rich, caramelized flavors of the pineapple. And when you add the chilies and the lime juice and the sugar and then just a little bit of cilantro as a garnish, it's a wonderful combination of flavors. I have Mexican-style ice pops made with strawberries, and they're spiked with a little ancho chili pepper and powder, and that's great. Or kulfi, which is the Asian coconut ice pops, coconut milk ice pops, and in those I used Kashmiri chili. That's really, really good. Adding a little chili to a basmati rice pudding made with coconut milk is just, it's really easy to do and really, really good. I did a great chocolate brownie recipe with a chipotle cream cheese icing. That's a little over the top, but really, really good. So the results are really, the options are really, I think, endless. And I thought when I started the book that I would have difficulty coming up with a lot of really interesting dessert recipes. But once you start playing with those flavors, you really do realize that heat and sweetness are a natural combination, and it works really, really well.
Judah, thank you so much for talking with us today. These are really great ideas to think about as we try to, especially moving into the new year, broaden our palates and cook new and exciting things.
My pleasure, Kara.
Check out the book, The Chili Pepper Bible, 250 recipes from sweet to fiery and everything in between. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.